Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, from the Hyundai of West Dallas Postgame Studios, here's Jeff Orlowski and the franchise, Tim Allen.
And it is a final from Wrigley Field. The results are not good in 15 innings as the Brewers fall 2-1 to that team down there. And welcome, everybody. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tim Allen here in the Hyundai of West Dallas postgame studios. Jeff Orlowski, Sam Schmitz, Andrew Bolt over there as the Brewers fall in 15 innings. And we'll just start out here. I don't need to hear moral victories today. I don't want to hear Burt Smith pitched his tail off. I don't want to hear that they hung tough with the team. I don't want to hear rough conditions, that it was people sliding all over the place. I don't want to hear some horrible umpiring on both sides. That we can talk about. I guess that's the one thing I will accept. Cooper behind the dish, awful game. An absolute awful game on both sides. So we can talk about that. But where did this thing wrong? 15 innings. I mean, you had ample opportunity after opportunity. So did the other guys. They did, and it's tough. You go extended extra innings when you're on the road because you're one swing. You're just like we noticed today. You're one swing away from losing. It's like the pressure's on you more than the home team because the home team knows you always get a bottom.
Yeah,
and you found that out last week in the 18-inning game in which the Brewers were trailing. And then, you know, you always had the bottom down there. So this one, a rough one. You went through everything you could do. I thought Joe Maddon was a complete idiot in this game for allowing Chatwood to bat. It turns out that it worked for him. I don't understand how it runs right at a premium here. You get the bases loaded in, what, the 13th?
Yeah.
And you allow Chatwood to bat with one out and the winning run at third base. Go for the win right there. I would have lost my mind if Council pulled something like that. But it worked for Joe Maddon get the win.
On that first pitch, Chatwood showed like he was going to bunt, but it looked like it was going to be a safety squeeze. The first pitch was at the bottom of the zone, but it was a perfect ball for him to bunt at. But if you're going to sit there and do it, you've got to sell it. And Javi's got to be running down that line if that's how you choose to score the run. So, they might have had the right idea, but just bad execution.
Yeah, you were given a break there, the Brewers were, and they just could not take advantage. And you're going to have some games like this, I get it, over the course of time. But there were a number of things that just went wrong for the Brewers, and that is a lack, obvious statement, a lack of offense here. I mean, you could double plays. They hit into 52,000 double plays today. You get the leadoff man on in, I think, 8 of these 15 innings, and 6 of those are raced on double plays. So you had opportunity after opportunity. And really, the double plays started off Cole Hamels. And I don't understand where the game plan went with your – they're going to have to figure it out against left-handers. This is one of the reasons why I think Epstein filtered lefties into his rotation, 3 of the 5. This is exactly why. He can tell you all day long that this is about the Cubs. I don't know if I buy that, man. I think that was somewhat to combat the Brewers' heavy left-handed lineup. You're going to have to figure it out. Now, some weeks ago – all the praise was going to Andy Haynes, the Brewers hitting coach, when they played the Dodgers in a three-game set, took two of three, and the Dodgers were throwing lefty after lefty against the crew. And Andy Haynes and the Brewers' offense was just getting praised. Why? Because they had a great game plan. They had a great game plan to stay middle and away, lefty on lefty. You add in the fact that Hamels is a crafty veteran, you ain't going to pull the ball on him. Come on. That wasn't going to happen. And you see the rollover after rollover after rollover against left-handed pitching, and they're going to have to figure that out. I just thought it was a little too pull-happy in this game and the Brewers fall. Where did this game go south? What would you have done to win this baseball game? This is a good one. 15 innings. A decent game to sit back and just kind of chew on a bowl of popcorn, have a beer. It really was, except the outcome. 799-1250 is the phone number if you want to join us here. Let's go back over some of the notes in this game as the Brewers fall 2-1 in 15 innings. Let's see here. We go way back to the first inning. Brewers go in order, and you knew something was up. Kane, Yelich, Zeus all striking out. Cubs get a leadoff triple by Hayward. Now, this is key right here. You never know when a certain play early on in a baseball game is going to have an impact. But it did. A leadoff triple by Hayward. But off the bat of Bryant, they pinch the run at the plate. Orlando Arcia and Grandal, a nice play. They cut down the run there, and they don't score. The Cubs off the board. Zach Davies, scoreless inning. In that first inning, stays scoreless through the second, into the third, scoreless third and fourth, heading into the fifth inning with two outs. HP, we'll call this our drive of the game in this one, if you want to grab that one, Jeff Orlowski, because the wrench-and-go drive of the game, fifth inning. Yesterday, we had it in the fourth inning to break a scoreless tie from Braun, but today, wrench-and-go drive of the game, fifth inning, HP.
The range he has, and he gets into one here, back into deep left center field. It's gone. Hernan Perez puts the Brewers on the board in the fifth.
That's our drive of the game, as heard on Fox Sports Wisconsin. Brought to you by Wrench and Go, as the Brewers were up one zip. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. So things were good at that point, but then the Cubs got it right back in the bottom of the fifth. And it stayed right there, obviously, as I don't know, man, just a bigger picture statement. You don't score off that bullpen. And again, the numbers are what the numbers are, but I think that's one of the things you have to look at in this one. But it stays tied through what 10 more innings until the bottom of that 10 additional inning, and that's when Wilson Contreras got it done. But Zach Davies not too bad in this baseball game, as we're through the sixth, 1-1, Brewers empty in the seventh, and Zach Davies gets an out and then walks Schwarber in that seventh inning. Council goes out to get Davies, 6 1/3 of one run ball. Just outstanding, man. Jeremy Jeffress comes in relief. He finishes up that seventh inning. Brewers held off the board in the eighth, and in the bottom half, JJ back out there again. Gets the first two outs, then walks Bryant. Council goes to get Claudio to face Rizzo right there. Great pitching, great handling of the pitching staff right now to go out and get Claudio. However, he hits Rizzo. I like the try by Grandal right there, saying that Rizzo was out of the batter's box, meaning too tight to the plate. How can you tell?
It's worth a shot.
Well, no doubt. No doubt. It was worth a shot, but how can you tell? Corbin Burnes comes in and then strikes out Javi Baez to end that eighth inning. Brewers, another leadoff walk. Stays 1-1 to the bottom of the ninth inning. Brewers did have that leadoff walk in the ninth inning. Burnes still in, a scoreless bottom of the ninth, so you're in good shape to force extras. They get another leadoff walk in the 10th inning for the 64th time in the game, but they don't score, as Hader pitches the bottom of the 10th inning. Hader a little erratic. Leadoff walk and then a deep count at bat by Hayward. That was a great at bat by Hayward. It really was.
He handled that well. It was. He drove up Hader's pitch count, fouled a bunch of balls off, and then he just tattooed the ball. But it was, you know, it was right at him, and they were able to get a double play, and the Brewers moved on and dragged the game out longer.
And that, yeah, that definitely helped. About 20 pitches for Josh Hader, a scoreless 10th inning. Crew gets a two-out double by Thames, but I thought right there when Thames hit the ball center field, I really believe this, that it had to get out for the Brewers to win. If it didn't get out, if it stayed in the ballpark, I didn't feel good about the Brewers' chances, just for some reason. Yeah, again, there's those moments in a baseball game that you never really know. And it turns out the Brewers don't score in that 11th inning. Matt Albers on to pitch the bottom of the 11th inning. Albers, all sorts of trouble. Bases loaded, gets out of it, had a double play in the inning despite the bases loaded. Leadoff walk in the 12th for Yelich, but another double play, their sixth of the game. Burt Smith then comes in for the 12th inning, a scoreless 12th. As the Brewers get a couple of base runners in the 13th inning, a 10-pitch walk to Shaw. We need to get to Shaw, too, in just a second. Lando drew a walk as well. Burt Smith on to the bottom half of the 13th, a leadoff double by Baez, and you're thinking the game's close to being over. It wasn't. He gets out of it, and Burt Smith, a scoreless 13th. Bases loaded with one out. He did allow the Cubs to get the bases loaded. And that's what we were talking about, the allowing Chatwood to bat there. But it didn't burn Joe Maddon. Burt Smith, 3 1/3 innings in relief, one-run ball. You had to have it. He earns a trip to San Antonio for the effort. I'm sure another pitcher is on their way up now. But Contreras ends that in the bottom of the 15th inning. And there's your ball game. Brewers 24-17, and their seven-game winning streak was snapped today. 414-799-1250. You want to comment on this one? This one hurts. I'll tell you that. Ample opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to win this game. And it really wasn't even close offensively. Cubs were knocking on the door virtually every inning in the bottom half as the game got extended.
They were. Brewers, you know,
really,
what?
Jeff had nothing going in the I don't know, for about 6 or 8 innings.
Yeah, it was definitely an extended struggle. What's crazy, looking at the numbers, so they go 15 innings. There was a total of 13 hits combined and 19 walks combined. And only 3 runs crossed the plate. And obviously, yes, we all know 10 double plays got put in this game. But 19 walks, 13 hits, and only 3 guys crossed home. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. That is a crazy stat line in this game. And that's one of the things you got to love about baseball, man. You never know what you're going to experience at the ballpark in a given game. You just don't know. There's rain, and there's people slipping, and then bad umpiring, and tense runners in scoring position. Rarely for the Brewers, quite often for the Cubs, and the Brewers were smoking mirrors and getting themselves out of a lot of trouble. You knew at some point it was going to come back to get them.
Oh, of course. Of course.
I don't know what they'd have done. I would imagine Junior Guerra was in for the save if the Brewers had taken the lead. And that's why you didn't go with him. You went with Burt Smith for a 4th inning of work. He's been pitching well, obviously. 3 scoreless against a tough offense, one of the better offenses lately in baseball. But I think that would be the case with Junior Guerra, that you just, what were you going to do?
Yeah, I think it would have been Guerra for the save. But, when you sit there and you play 15 and you walk, the Brewers walked 9 guys from the Cubs, but the Brewers' offense struck out 17 times.
Yeah.
17.
Took a day off. 414-799-1250. There's one thing that I'm pretty convinced would have won this game for the Milwaukee Brewers today. There's one thing that I'm fairly convinced would have won the game. You guys got me? They fall in 15 innings last week, 1 week ago tonight. They go 18 innings. Tonight they go 15 in a loss. The Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey after a Brewers crushing defeat to those guys.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball, but it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
15 innings tonight in game two of this three-game set. Series now tied at a game apiece as the Brewers fall 2-1 in those 15 innings. You get a run. You got a run, an HP home run in the fifth. Who got lit up? In some regard, I feel bad for Travis Shaw. Because you're supposed to have this mental break, right? Because you're definitely struggling. You're supposed to have this mental break, and sure as shooting, you get forced into play, because that's the thing. He was forced into playing today. You get a 15-inning game, all hands on deck, man. Everybody's playing. You're burning through your second catcher. You were this close to having Brandon Woodruff play the outfield.
Yeah.
And then hit. I mean, I don't know about pitching. No, that wouldn't happen. But that's who got lit up. Travis Shaw didn't even start the game. 0 for 3 with a walk, 3 strikeouts. What's he at, a buck 68 now?
Yes, sir, 168.
Yeah, that's who got lit up with Heiser Automotive. 414-799-1250. There's one thing that I think would have won this game for the Crew. If one thing occurs, just the one thing, wasn't a whole convoluted avalanche of layers that had to happen. It's simply one thing, and it would have been a Brewers victory. Convinced of it. Now, this deal with Travis Shaw. We're going to have to put a target time, and that is, what's today, May 11th?
It is.
I would say 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks. However you want to use him. You want to start him. You want to sit him. You want to pinch hit him. It's a double switch, emergency only, whatever. Extended game. That's where he's at for the next 3 or 4 or 5 days, for sure. After that, then you start eyeballing a particular date and time. The more this goes on, the more I'm pretty convinced that they are going to bring up one of the young infielders.
Yeah.
The more this goes on, because it makes sense. That's why. Special season, special stories. And I would imagine that it would be Keston Hira, but you never know. Mauricio Dubon was just probably within 48 hours being called up last year. So it could be him as well. But I would say within 2 weeks, they're probably going to have to do something. And I don't know if the option thing is the way to go, but it might be.
Well, you know, we're already 25% of the way through the season. And you still want to wait another 2 weeks. We talked about this a week ago, and you were preaching patience, and my patience had run out. And, you know, my patient meter is at zero right now for Travis Shaw, but you know, I'm still keeping my fingers crossed. Hopefully he bounces back, but you know, I think anybody who sits there, oh well, Travis Shaw is gonna hit because he's proven it over his career, and anybody who keeps saying that, you know, we're a quarter of the way through the season already and he hasn't done jack.
No, and it's ugly. It really is. There's the strikeouts are just amazing. And they say you hit your way out of a slump, but you also, when you swing the bat, you tend to fall into the hole a lot. You're behind in the count a ton. You keep wanting to use that philosophy. Let me swing my way out of this thing. And you're down 0-1, 0-2 constantly. And that's where Shaw is right now. And he did draw a walk today in a 10-pitch at-bat. And I really think the payoff in that at-bat right there, Jeff, I thought it was going to be if he got up again. And he did, and it was against Chatwood again.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was going to pay off right there, and he struck out.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing. You know, maybe that was the at-bat, the 10 pitcher that he needed to sit there, you know, get his eyes locked in, especially on Chatwood, who, you know, he's no hero. And it still didn't pay off. It's, you know, and it's not like Braun or like Aguilar earlier in the season when those guys were scuffling, because Shaw looks completely lost. Aguilar and Braun had some loud outs, and you can just see them coming along. Travis Shaw looks, you know, he's still on ground zero.
Yeah, and I know they're going, they've got a plan already. I'm convinced of that, because we are at the 11th of May, and somebody told me the service time date would be right around May 23rd or somewhere in there. So you're looking at less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Until you get there. Unfortunately for the Brewers, you know, it's a Spangenberg, Tyler Saladino. You probably could see Tyler Saladino up if they're going to make a move with Shaw. I mean, if it's before a Keston Hiram, Mauricio Dubon, if they were to utilize and exercise one of the options on Travis Shaw, it might earlier than that service time date of the 23rd or 24th, then it might be one of the other guys before the younger dudes get here.
Yeah, it has to be. You cannot, you know.
You're saying now?
No. Not with Hira or Dubon.
Right, you're saying now with Saladino or someone like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, but you cannot sacrifice a year of, you know, of playing time, a year under contract with these young guys to, you know, to buy yourself 1 week less of Travis Shaw in your lineup. You know, I would rather sit there and keep Shaw and his, you know, 18, 20 strikeouts a week in there just to keep the service time. And so I have those guys under contract one more year.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. And they will do that. There's no way they're bringing up one of those kids ahead of the service time date.
Right.
Because then they've got them for, you know, the 6 years once they call them up. So that's just unfortunate that the Brewers are in a market size that you have to consider that. However, you know, you get games like this that can be impacted on one swing. It's obvious. It's just a swing, man. It's one that can impact a game. When you got a guy that's swinging the air bat, I mean, look at his numbers, Jeff. Check out the numbers. It's like 40, close to 50 strikeouts. And compare that to the at-bats he has this year. That's the biggest concern. You alluded to it, that there's really not even loud outs here with Travis Shaw.
Yeah, you know, he looks so lost at the plate. And, you know, you definitely feel bad, and I feel bad, you know, talking bad about him and everything, but, you know, I can only be paid. Well, you know, I don't really feel bad, but, you know, he's making enough money that, you know, he can, you know, go cry in a stack of hundreds. But 48 Ks already.
Yeah, close to 50 strikeouts. Look at the plate appearances.
131.
And 50 strikeouts, guys.
He's striking out well over a third of the time he's at the dish.
It's crazy. It's crazy, and it's got to stop. I understand that, but I don't think it's today. I'm going to preach the patience just for a little while longer. I am. You have to hit, you know, has he hit rock bottom?
He's 22 out of 131. So he's got 22 hits, and 109 times he's gone to the plate, he hasn't hit. And of those, 48 have been strikeouts. He's got a whopping total of 8 RBIs so far this season. Tim, I would give you 131 at-bats, and you would have more than 8 driven in.
Just swing. Well, and again, I know it's getting close. I just don't think it's quite there yet to make that type of move, because there's other factors involved. And, you know, do you lose him mentally, and is he a part of the foundational building blocks, you know, moving forward? Is he a little forward thinking with our friends at Forward Financial Partners, FFPWI.com? Is Travis Shaw part of the future of this team, let's say in the next 3 to 4 year window? Because at that point, you're going to have to pay him. a lot more than you're paying him now.
Well,
through his arbitration years.
Yeah, but you're not going to have to pay him a lot if he keeps playing at this level. He's just driving his value straight into the gutter.
No, and that's the debate. If he is, I still think he is. I do. And I'm gonna stick with that. I think there's a couple-year track record, man, that you can't ignore. 799-1250. Also, there's one thing that occurred today that would have made the difference in a Brewers win or loss. When you got a 15-inning game that goes 2-1, ton of pitching changes, lots of situations, lots of moments, a lot to choose from, but I think there's one. We'll take a break here and come out. I'll tell you what it is after the break here. 414-799-1250. 2-1 in 15. Brewers fall. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here on The Fan.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. So when it comes to the crew, who's hot and who's not?
All right, welcome back. 15-inning crusher. Just like last Saturday, 18 innings. You know, you feel a lot better when you win a game like that. Well, now you're on the other side of this thing. 15 innings, and you lose 2-1 here. The team down south, I'm not even going to say their name because I hate them so much. It's like their third or is it fourth walk-off in the last week? I think three.
Yeah, it's been a lot. It's
you're
been a lot.
With fire. You're playing with fire down there because they just find a way to do it, and I get it. I don't like it, but I get it. Who's hot, who's not? The Brewers' offense, not one run. One run in 15 innings of work, and virtually half those innings were off that bullpen that they should have done better at. I don't know if conditions were that good for playing baseball on both sides, but you'd credit the pitching, I guess, I would think. On both sides, I mean, three runs collective through the 15 innings, but Brewers not hot in that category. However, overall, hot. Yeah, winners of 7 of their last 8 games. They're 1-1 in the series. They'll go back at it Sunday night baseball tomorrow, which is cool. It would be nice to see the Brewers beat Leicester and take the series. That is a huge game tomorrow. That is a huge game tomorrow.
Yeah,
big
it is.
Time.
It is.
Yeah. All right. Here's the one thing that would have won this game for the Brewers. One thing would have won this game for the crew.
All right. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat, Timmy.
Hold on. Let me see if Gary can guess this thing. Gary, you're on The Fan. 15 innings, 2-1. I know a lot of twists and turns in this thing. What would have won the game for the crew?
Well, scoring one more run than the Cubs. I mean, come on, Timmy.
Okay. Yes, scoring in the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th or 15th. Yes.
I'm not that smart, but I'm not that dumb either. You know, you're talking about Shaw with all of his hitting issues. I think at this point he's in his own head. If anything, what we need to do is sit him down for a bit. Let Hernan Perez, who has been, I mean, he's not on fire, but at 266, I think is what he's hitting right now. He's a better situational hitter, I think, and he's not in his own head.
And he's better defensively. I think you're not missing much defensively because he's going to play second. Moose goes over to third. Some may say that might be an upgrade.
And we lost him.
Sorry, Gary. We lost you. Yeah, I mean, I could see that HP get, and that's, see, that's the deal. That was their plan today. That was their plan this weekend. He wasn't going to get the starts against the lefties. He was going to get a nice, long, extended stay on the bench. And you saw it happen with Jesus. And that seemed to clear things up with Zeus. I'm feeling a lot better about Zeus being at the dish than I was a month ago.
Yeah.
It was 3 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. You know, and Zeus looked good today. You know, he had a bunch of walks, and you know, he kept getting on base. And that's you know, if you're not going to be sitting there crushing the ball like the Zeus of last season, get on board and give somebody else a chance. And you know, Aguilar, he walked Well, I guess he only walked once today. I thought he walked more than that, but he had a hit and a walk. So
base
hit, you know, on base a couple times. But
yeah, and the home plate umpire, I think, rung him up on a pitch he was not too pleased about. And then the early in the game, it was the Cubs and their dugout chirping. Late in the game, it was the Brewers and their dugout chirping at the umpire. The umpiring was pretty bad in this game.
It was bad, but it was bad both ways.
It was.
You know, I don't think that, you know, I definitely don't think the umpiring cost the Brewers the game or gave the Cubs the game. You know, it was just, it was a wide, wide strike zone today.
I don't get it. I don't get where these umpires are coming from on a nightly basis. I really don't. I'm a grown man. I'm a grown man, and I don't understand. I don't understand how you can't do your job better. And this, again, I think twice a year for 14 years now, I say the same thing. You can't make up the rule book just because you're consistently outside of the rules. You can't rewrite the rule because tonight they're calling it low and away. I hate that. I hate that when announcers say it. I hate it when people say it. I hate it when fans and managers and players say it. Well, at least it was consistent. He's given the high strike today. He's giving the high strike today. How about giving the rule book today? It should not change. The strike zone doesn't change on a nightly basis. As much as a lot of baseball analysts want to tell you it should and does, it's wrong. It's against the rules, and they should be reprimanded for it. As long as it's consistent, bull. Why write the rule book? How about the rule book states a strike is determined by the umpire on a nightly basis, game by game?
I'd be good with that. I completely disagree with you, Timmy.
Then write it that way. A strike is a strike.
Right. Okay, but there are different ways. Not everybody has the exact same vision. And if you want to say, oh, all umpires now have to have 20/20 vision, people look at things differently. When a chick walks by the studio here, I might think she's a 7. You might think she's a 9. In reality, she might be a 4 or she might be a 13. You know, everybody sees stuff differently. I like the fact that the strike zone changes. All I want is it for it to be consistent.
Which is just the problem I have with it. Then why is it in the rule book stated accordingly? Then why is it there if you're not going to call it that way? Because I want to play my game according to the rules. I want to push the envelope for sure. I want to test every rule as a competitor. And I think most competitors would, should, and do that.
Okay, but now I am going to venture a guess here, Timmy, and go out on a limb. I want to say that you probably had no problem with the in-the-neighborhood call at second base on a double play for 15 years.
Hated it.
Oh, come on.
Absolutely, Jeff. Hated it. Absolutely hated it. How is he ruled out when you don't have the ball and your foot touching the base? I remember saying I'd complain about it every time. For a decade, I've been saying that. Every time I would question it. They finally fixed it, which is cool. Now they fixed the slide rule is a little funky, but okay, fine. But you do now have to have the ball and the bag at the same time.
But I would trade the bag and the ball rule at second base on a double play for them to get rid of that stupid no takeout slide rule.
Yeah,
I would go back to in the neighborhood if they bring back the takeout slide, because breaking up a double play used to be an art form. It's one of the most exciting plays in baseball, you know, that used to happen back then. It was wonderful. And, you know, I would obviously take out the Buster Posey rule as well. But
for sure.
I would definitely bring back in the neighborhood to get rid of the stupid no takeout slide.
799-1250. All right. Here's the deal where I think the Brewers would have won this game. And it's unfortunate. There's nothing they could do about it. It just happened. And that's Ryan Braun. You give Ryan Braun 7 at-bats in this game, ain't no way, no chance this game goes 15.
Yeah.
You give Ryan Braun 6 or 7 at-bats in this game.
Yeah.
It's at Wrigley. He smokes lefties on top of smokes Wrigley.
Yep.
That would have made the difference. That's unfortunate. I have not heard how he did it, but I will say this. Yesterday there was a ball that he was running out. And it's weird because I thought of it at the time. The time it happened, I said, don't get hurt. Because he was trying to, I think it was to prevent a double play. So he's running out, you know, trying to reach on a double play ground ball. And I believe he beat out the throw. I wonder if it was there. We'll have Sam take a look around. Did they announce when? Do we have any tidbits of when that happened, the hamstring with Braun?
No, I've been searching for it all day long, and I haven't found anything about it yet. So, but I'm still looking. Okay, actually, here we go. Adam McKelvey, 1 minute ago, from Craig Counsell regarding Ryan Braun's hamstring. He tweaked it running the bases on Friday, yesterday, and given the conditions, they decided to be cautious and scratch him from Saturday's start. Hopefully, we'll get him back in there tomorrow. So it happened running the bases yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I figured. And what's strange about that, guys, is at the time the play happened, I went, dude, chill. Come on, don't get hurt. I don't know why I thought of it, and I don't do that every play. Not at all. It's just something funky hit me on that play. I don't know if it happened on that play. I will say this. But it'd be interesting. I'm just curious about the ball game.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, that's just a tough break. That's tough luck right there. 414-799-1250. Brewers fall today. 2-1 in 15 innings, and there were some good things. I don't see much good when you fall to that team. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey here on The Fan.
In every game, there's a moment when you say to yourself, are you kidding me? Here's the Gene Wagner Plumbing, are you kidding me? Moment of the game. A company you can trust. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
Yeah, you never ever know what's going to happen in a baseball game. And are you kidding me? Really? This is just some bad luck. That's just bad timing. Ryan Braun, who owns Wrigley Field, Ryan Braun, throughout the duration of his career, owns left-handers. And then you get an extended game of 15 innings, and he gets one at-bat. And that was it. And that didn't make the difference. Give him five or six. It probably would have made the difference. I'm convinced it would have. You know, I mean, that's just me, but you get a game like this, you never know. There's your are you kidding me moment of the game. 414-799-1250. We'll go to Roger. Roger, you're on The Fan. What's happening?
Well, you know, you're talking about the strike zone, and what I don't understand, and there's not really a lot of discussion about it. I mean, have you ever had a panel of umpires sit down? I'd love to hear a conversation about how each and every one, do they have, is their view of the strike zone, each one of them, different, or are they just seeing it differently? I think that, and I don't think it's good for the game. Most of the younger fans or the fans that are not diehard, I don't think it contributes to the game to have an inconsistency in that way, especially when you have the box on the television screen
right,
proving the umpires wrong. But I mean, are they seeing it differently, or do they go into the game saying, I call the lower strike? And
that's a joke.
Can they go up ahead and ask, how are you going to call them today? And can they answer definitively?
Roger, love it. I love it because it makes you think. I hadn't thought of that either. What if you did get five or six or seven umpires in the same room and you had a chat with them? And, you know, as a matter of fact, there is a, I won't name him, but there's a current major league umpire that I have a connection to through my son. And I won't tell you how, because then you could look it up and find out. I'm going to see if I can get a hold of this guy just to pick his brain off the record. I won't necessarily put him on the air. I don't recall hearing a lot of interviews with umpires, but I'm just curious about that. That's number one. So I'll dig into that. Number two, what would the umpire say when addressed collectively, 5, 6, 7 of them? Hey, man, don't you find it interesting that the rule book has this, yet you guys have your own? How does that doesn't compute for me? I know it's been like that for 50 years, 80 years, whatever it is. Put the amount of years, 100 years. How do they justify? How would they justify that? When I say, hey, man, here's the rule, how do you justify when you say, hey, man, I'm calling the lower zone? I don't know. I don't know what they'd say.
It's the human factor. Baseball's not meant to be perfect. That's why replay is so awful.
I agree. I don't like that. Is it a height thing? I mean, maybe it is. I mean, there's umpires that are 6'5 and umpires that are 5'10. I mean, I guess it could play a part. Is it positioning? Is it a number of things? Now, I will say this. There was just a study out. I read it about 3 weeks ago. I saved the article, and maybe we'll dig into this next time this comes up. There is a they did a study, a statistical analysis of umpiring, home plate umpires, calling balls and strikes, and there is a difference between the younger umpires being more accurate than the older umpires. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, you know, like I said, you can, you know, there were times back in the day that I would watch games and, you know, the rumors were, oh, yeah, he's got a reservation for dinner, and so that's why the strike zone expanded late in games and stuff like that. You know, but it's all baseball, and that's how it goes. When you have two strikes, you need to protect the plate. You need to widen what you think the strike zone is and fight off the pitches that are close because you have two strikes. If you want to sit there and, oh, well, it's got to be the exact strike zone, then you shouldn't have to widen your strike zone and protect the plate better with two strikes, because if it misses by a millimeter, it's a ball. I don't buy it. I don't like it. I don't want this whole robot strike zone that Baby Tausch wants and all that. Just give me consistency. That's it.
Well, then how do you read that? I mean, how do you know going in, I've got a game plan against this pitcher, but I don't know what the strike zone is tonight?
Because you're telling me that David Stearns and all these pocket-protecting wearing dorks, and I'm not calling Stearns a dork, but all the analytics, all the dorkopotamuses that work in baseball right now, that these guys don't analyze umpires? I bet they have, you know, detailed strike zones on every single umpire in Major League Baseball. The same way that they have hot zones and cool zones on every single batter.
Having that information in your back.
Yeah, I think they've got it on all the umps, and I bet that they use it and they prepare their team for the game.
There's going to be missed calls. That I have no problem with. Once in a while, a dude's going to miss a call. We get it. I got it. But just the argument of, well, it's going to take me an at-bat and a half to figure out where a strike zone is. What if, and that discounts the better eye as a hitter. You know what I mean? So you crowd the plate a little bit, and, you know, I know I taught my son this years ago. Dude, don't freak out when the ball is inside. Just lift your arms up. You know where it's, you know it's not going to hit you. It's okay. You don't need to freak out and jump back out of the box or anything like that. If, and I'm not saying my son has a great eye or anything. I'm just saying that, what doesn't that then take away when you say, hey, you need to make sure you don't take an 0-2 pitch because you could get rung up? But what if he's just got great vision and he knows, just like an umpire could have better vision than someone else?
Hitters like that will get the superstar calls. You know, Tony Gwynn had, you know, the most amazing eye in the history of baseball for the strike zone in my opinion. And Tony Gwynn, they would not expand the strike zone on him. He would get the benefit of the doubt on a borderline call. Well, Gwynn didn't swing, so that's probably a ball.
Right.
You know, and I don't have a problem with that. Does it fit, you know, squarely in your compact little rule book? No, it doesn't. But, it, you know, baseball is a sport with 1.5 million, quote-unquote, unwritten rules to it.
And variables, right.
Hello.
Yep. No, and I get that. I think, I don't know if anyone's arguing necessarily the black, because then, I mean, I see that part of it. I think more people are, and it's certainly me, are into the Greg Maddux 3 inches outside thing. And as long as it's consistent, you know Greg Maddux is going to get that call, so you got to go out there and get that thing. Yeah, that's the part I have a problem with. Jim in Chicago, you're next on The Fan. What's happening, Jim?
Hey, how are we doing, guys?
I've been better.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I went down to the game today. We got up really, really early so we could catch the team bus and sign autographs for my son as they walked into the stadium today.
Nice.
So that was pretty cool. And you know what, Tim, I'm going to go back to something you were talking about last night, yesterday afternoon about the game. When we play the Cubs, there is a significant amount of angst that goes up in my life, mostly because I live down here and I got a lot of work people who give me grief. So, like, yesterday it was awesome because we won by a touchdown, so that was great. And then I just want to comment on the whole Wrigley Field experience, because we got standing room only tickets today, which is fine. You know, cheapest ticket to get in the door. And when I do that at Miller Park, I will admit oftentimes I can find an open seat somewhere, just plop myself down, and I don't get hassled. But I'll tell you what, when you go to Wrigley Field, no matter where, if you find an open seat, and today there were a lot of open seats because of the rain, every time I sat down, some octogenarian usher came down and asked to see my ticket. You know, that's just ridiculous. Come on.
Jim, you didn't get greedy, did you? And go down. I've done that too, and I've had issues with that too, at Miller Park, as a matter of fact. But if, right. As long as you stay toward the back, I think it should be okay.
Yeah, we were like, two sections back in far right field. So we were like nowhere near the really, really good seats. So, you know, come on, give us a break here. I mean, at Miller Park, I've had much better luck in being able to get down, as you guys well know. I don't know if we can call it friendly confines, because those ushers, man, they're on top of their game, I'll tell you that much.
And for a bunch of 90 to 112-year-old ladies, they are mean.
Yes, they are.
They're like the nuns I heard about at Catholic. Thankfully, I never went to religious school, but they're like the nuns that, like, my dad used to tell me when he was a kid growing up. Yeah, at his school, and oh man, they will chase you out, and they will make you feel bad about trying to steal a seat.
Yeah, they're way more intense than that. But hey, you know what? My boy still got 4 toss ups, so it was a successful day all the way around. Other than obviously not winning. And I'll tell you what, I got that pit in the bottom of my stomach when Arcia was not able to turn that play on Bodie, and Bodie ended up scoring that run to tie us. Had that not happened, we would have won. There's no question about that.
Okay, that is another factor. Jim, always a pleasure, man. Glad to hear that your son had a good time. 414-799-1250. The correction of the game brought to you by Milwaukee County House of Correction. In this one, I'm not sure that Burt Smith was the way to go, but I think you were handcuffed if you're Craig Counsell. Into his 4th inning of work, Burt Smith, could you have corrected that issue right there? Do you go with Junior Guerra? Because if you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. You go to, as soon as you went without Burt Smith heading into his 4th inning, if you go to Guerra right there, you're going 2 innings, unless you better get the lead. You better, and I think that was his ace in the hole, Counsell's ace in the hole right there. Could have been the correction of the game in this one. Let's see if this is correctable here. Baby Taos joins us. He is at the Leroy Butler marriage. And how are things going?
Oh, wow. We're at the Leroy Butler wedding extravaganza, Timmy. First off, so Bert, my boy Burt Smith, I didn't see one lick of the game, trying to follow it on my phone for as long as it was. And isn't it funny how things work out, Timmy? So now I'm only three innings ahead of you on the extra inning affair. But we just finished up the speeches. And Tim, you know I'm an emotional guy. I'm a contact guy. I always say that. I like the neck rubs. I like the shoulder rubs. I was able to hold it together all the way until my man Leroy Butler got the microphone at the end. About 27,000 speeches, because there's 20 people standing up in this wedding on each side. And Leroy had the whole place going. It was a great time. And we just are cutting the cake right now. Beautiful ceremony up here at Lambeau. And everyone's having a great time, man. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous ceremony. Cool that a dude like Leroy, first player ever in Packer history to do this, where he gets married at Lambeau Field, Tim, and all the fans who meant so much to him for his entire life, his entire career, were able to be a part of it if they wanted to be.
Yeah, how many autographs is he signing?
He just let everybody know after we cut the cake that a couple of the guys will be over. You can sign some things. He thanked Pick and Save, so we have that out there as well. The list went on, and Leroy gave everybody, Tim, a quick lesson about branding during his speech, which we were all very happy for.
Well, in this game, 15 innings. Yeah, you're right. Last Saturday I was off, and it goes 18. Tonight you're off. It goes 15. So we're just about even. I think together maybe we'll enjoy like a 21-inning affair.
I hope so, because I had to sit through both of them so far. So, you know, I'm due.
Pipe bomb. How was the couch during that 12th or 13th inning? Did it get any naps going in at all?
I did fall asleep for a couple hitters. Sam woke me up when Barnes had the bases loaded. He said, or Albers had the bases loaded. He goes, you better get up. I think this one might be over here. And it wasn't, but
that's what teammates are for.
Absolutely. He was good looking out, I'll tell you that. Yeah. I can't believe that you stepped away to come on when they're cutting the cake. I thought you'd be all over that thing.
Well, it'll take 10 minutes for it to come over to my table, so I'm just more – this is precautionary.
Oh, you're way in the back, yeah. Huh? Are you at, like, the little kids' table?
No. We're actually – a bunch of us from the building are all at one table together. It's just a really, really awesome situation, man. We're right here in the atrium. Wedding ceremony was up on the third floor. Guys, I guess I knew that this place was huge, and I knew that people did this, like weddings at Lambeau Field. I never understood how functional, though, it is. Like, this whole area, it's like an entire conference center right in as you walk in to an 84,000-seat football stadium. It's incredible.
Yeah, it is, and a lot better than that neighborhood dump down there they call Wrigley Field.
Yes,
so.
No troughs up here, Timmy.
Well, right, very good. Tell Leroy congratulations for me, and then we'll be talking to you tomorrow. Big-time Sunday night baseball, series on the line, Lester and Chacin going at it. We'll see what happens tomorrow night.
It's going to be fun, boys. Take it easy.
All right.
Baby Tausch. Bill Schmid at the Leroy Butler wedding, checking in. I mean, you know you're big time when you get someone doing an update on a radio station from your wedding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That didn't happen at mine, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we'll take a break. If you want to join the conversation, 414-799-1250. Brewers fall in 15 innings, 2-1 the final. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tim Allen, the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski, here on The Fan.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper on the only station Brewers fans need before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
With Bert Smith going 3 1/3, the losing pitcher, of course, but... You had to do it, and we will hear from counsel in just a second here. But in doing that, I would imagine that Bert Smith is going to be optioned back down to AAA, and they will bring up an Aaron Wilkerson kind of guy, and we'll see what happens there. 15 innings going to chew on you a little bit. And again, it's the way Craig Counsell handles his pitching staff over the course of the last 10 days or so, going back to the Chase Anderson blister or callus that was on his finger, and you had to scramble there. And I don't mean scramble You know, I heard Levering talking about that on the game broadcast today, that, you know, they did a nice job. It wasn't panic mode. They just did whatever they had to do to get it done. And they filled that. They filled, you know, the ensuing games after the 18-inning affair. And a large part of that, and this is what Levering did say about Zach Davies, that it was sort of, I think he was alluding to the fact that it wasn't given as much attention as it should. The Zach Davies 7 2/3 performance that he did last Sunday after the 18-inning game. And that's the thing. They've recovered. So Chacin tomorrow is probably going to have to be depended on for some length. You do, I believe, have Josh Hader, despite the pitch count. I think if it's a safe situation tomorrow, I think Josh Hader would be available tomorrow.
Yeah.
Alex Claudio, I think he's available tomorrow. Junior Guerra is available. You're not in horrible shape. And you'll also, Hauser is available, and you get another arm up here for Burt Smith, I would think.
Yeah, and Hader, you know, he did only throw 19 pitches in his inning of work. So while that's high for one inning, he can definitely go tomorrow. You know, even Corbin Burns, 1 1/3, but he only threw 23 pitches. So
yeah.
This isn't like the 18-inning affair where it was, you know, where you were begging for a super deep outing. The only person I feel bad for today is Zach Davies. You know, 6 1/3, he did allow 6 hits and 1 run, but, you know, my God, he is just having one heck of a season.
Dude is just pitching just outstanding this year. And I noticed a little something with Davies today, and that was I think he feels the game more this year than he did last year. And I didn't notice it back in 17 as much, but I think I'm noticing it more now. He fully feels the game could tip right here, and that's when he bears down. I think he executes a good pitching exactly when he needs to. He stays free and easy when he's starting off an inning, nobody on, one out, nobody on, no outs. But when there's traffic on the base pass, I noticed that this year, the last few starts, that's when he – I don't know. It's just something that I should ask him about this, and I'll make it a point too. And I think he's doing a much better job of feeling when he needs to step up, when the game gets tight. It's pretty interesting. See if you notice that his next time out, and hopefully I'll remember to remind you guys in 5 days when Zach Davies pitches. I would imagine tail game in Philly or then in Atlanta would be his next start. 799-1250. Let's get to Craig Counsell. A lot to unpack here in 15 innings as the Brewers fall 2-1.
Was it a little deja vu from last week?
Yeah, I mean, it. You know, a lot of 15 innings is a marathon for sure. So to play two in a week, yeah, not ideal. Came out on the short end this time, but, you know, it was... Good pitching was awesome. It was tough to hit. Frankly, the conditions were just miserable for the players out there in the field for both sides. I mean, everybody's soaked and freezing, so raining for 5 hours straight. And Birch did a really nice job. Just, you know, gave the homer in the end.
Do all the double plays, 10 of them, is that an indication of the good pitching on both sides today?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, we hit into 6 of them, so... Yeah, I mean, that's why there's 3 runs on the board at the end of the night.
Overall, you guys got really good pitching. I mean, starting with Zach, what did you see from him, and then just kind of moving on?
Yeah, I mean, just more of the same. Zach did his, you know, really good work again. Thought he was really in control of everything. Pitched really well. Just kind of a single kind of placed in the or a double in the wrong spot, really. And then everybody just pitched well. I mean, that's what I'd say. JJ did a nice job, and Corbin Burns did a really nice job. So Matty Albers wiggled out, making I thought he made really good pitches all inning, really. And then Birch, just took the ball and kept going and did a nice job.
Going all the way back to the first inning there, that play by Arcia throwing home there. The play, the throw had to be perfect, and it really was.
It was almost like the throw tagged Hayward. Just a brilliant play, and gave us a shot and kept it at neutral. You knew it was going to be hard to score again with the way the wind was blowing. Balls in the air weren't going to do anything. So, and just the conditions made it difficult to hit as well. So, keeping it there was a good start.
On that play where they scored against Zach, where Bodie made that great slide, is that just to tip your cap? His money looked like maybe he had to go out to get the ball before it bounced.
Well, yeah. I mean, Hernan had to get rid of it. I thought he made a pretty good throw. He beat the throw.
He pinch hit, I know, later in the game, but are they okay with Braun's hamstring, just a precautionary thing?
Yeah, he just his hamstring, he tweaked it yesterday running the bases late in the game. We just didn't want him running around today, so we scratched him and he was still able to hit. Just scratched him. Hopefully, get him back in there tomorrow.
Could going 15 affect what you guys do on Monday, considering you still have?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Have you had that conversation yet about bringing help for tomorrow?
No, we're gonna have to figure that out. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when you guys won that game the other day, I think Braun was on it, said games like that, when you win them, it feels like winning two. When you lose them, it feels like losing 10. You know, you guys were on the right side of it last time, but
yeah, it's,
hurt more than others.
Well, we're 1-1 in them, and, we'd prefer to play 9 innings.
That was Craig Counsell after the Brewers' 15-inning affair where they fall 2-1. Confirmation, Ryan Braun. That's freaky. That's just freaky on a personal note for me. And again, that doesn't mean anything, man. I'm just telling you what I felt yesterday. When Brawny was running, trying to beat out the double play, I actually thought, don't get hurt. Meaning, don't pull something.
Yeah, well.
On that same freaking play. Wow. Not knowing, of course, that it was going to impact today's game. Wow, that's just wild. You heard Craig Counsell there talk about we're going to have to figure out whether or not reinforcements are coming up tomorrow. You know that was figured out. The phone call probably was placed about the 11th or 12th, I would think.
Oh, yeah.
From Stearns to get things rolling, Jeff, don't you believe?
Oh, yeah. There were plane tickets being reserved no later than the 12th inning.
Yeah, That's a tough one. Tomorrow is it's a big one. It's on the national stage. I believe the Cubs are used to that, and the Brewers are sort of not. However, the national spotlight and the stage at a much higher level last year for the Crew into the postseason, both the NLDS and, of course, game seven games, I should say, in the NLCS. So I don't know if that factors in it all. We'll talk about that next. Just a couple of minutes left here if you want to join the conversation. 414-799-1250. Baby Shade and Blind Post Game Show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here on The Fan. Yeah, rough one tonight for the Brewers as they fall 2-1 in 15 innings. And that's the thing about baseball. Go back at it tomorrow. There's a game tomorrow. It's a Sunday night baseball game on ESPN. This will be the second of three consecutive Sunday night games for the Cubs. And I get the market size. I get all that. But you have a Brewers team that did what they did in 17, and that has come up just short of the playoffs. You had a team that did what they did certainly last year and was sort of the talk of the town in more cities than just Milwaukee. And the very next year, they get their first one since 2013, Sunday Night Baseball. Now, will that have an impact on things? I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they look at it that way. It's still a baseball game.
I don't think it'll have an impact. My problem with the whole thing is that, yes, when the Brewers were doing their, awesome run through the playoffs last year, you would have hoped that there would have been some more respect. A couple of Sunday night games is not too much to ask when you have the reigning MVP.
That too.
And, you know, you take it all the way to Game 7 of the NLCS. On the other side of the coin, it does sting a little bit that when you're on Sunday night baseball, you're on against the Cubs. If they could have been on against any other team in baseball, it would have been fine. The fact that you make the matchup with the Cubs, the one that you show on Sunday night baseball, stings a little more.
Yeah, and I also think that, though, that is a testament to admitting, at least from the network's perspective, that it is a rivalry.
Well, yes. Yeah, that definitely says, you know, that, you know, from, you know, ESPN, Major League Baseball, all that, they definitely view it as a rivalry. Yes, it does.
Yeah, and that's good news. Starting to get a little respect going here for the Brewers nationally. And we'll have the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show getting you ready for Game 3. Final game of this three-game set, weekend series in Chicago at Wrigley Field. It's Lester and it's Chacin going toe-to-toe tomorrow. And once you know it, it'll be a 2-1, 15-inning affair today. Any predictions, Jeff Orlowski, the Polish Pipe Bomb, on tomorrow? Just a general sense. It doesn't even matter who wins or loses. But
absolute slugfest.
I see it, too.
I think it's going to be like 9-7. Or maybe even like a 10-8, 10-9 game tomorrow. I think the ball's going to be flying.
These guys played a three-game set a month ago at Miller Park, and there was a 13-10 game, there was a 14-8 game, and there was a 4-2 game. So
yep.
All bets are off on this one. Yeah, it's going to be a fun one tomorrow. And after the last pitch tomorrow night, just because it's Sunday night baseball doesn't mean we're not here. After the last pitch, you make the switch. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. We'll meet you right here in the Hyundai of West Dallas postgame studios for Andrew Lightning Bolt back there doing a stand-up job, and he loves working extra inning games. For Sam Schmitz, Jeff Orlowski, my name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great Saturday night. We'll see you tomorrow night after the game. And smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.